Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, September the 15th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today in your word. We're grateful for all that you do for us day by day, and we ask that you would give us the strength as we comply with all that you have given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our subject today is discipline in the home. Discipline in the home. And we will read from Proverbs chapter 22, verses 1 through 6. The title again, Discipline in the Home. Proverbs 22, 1 through 6. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In the book Child Guidance, page 229, beginning at paragraph 1, chapter 42, which is entitled The Time to Begin Discipline, it says this: one of the signs of the last days is the disobedience of children to their parents. And do parents realize their responsibility? Many seem to lose sight of the watch care they should ever have over their children, and suffer them to indulge in evil passions and to disobey them. Children are the heritage of the Lord, and unless parents give them such a training as will enable them to keep the way of the Lord, they neglect solemn duty. It is not the will or purpose of God that children shall become coarse, rough, uncourteous, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. The scriptures state that this condition of society shall be a sign of the last days. There's perfect order in heaven, perfect concord and agreement. If parents so neglect to bring their children under proper authority here, how can they hope that they will be considered fit companies for the holy angels in a world of peace and harmony? Those who have had no respect for order or discipline in this life would have no respect for the order which is observed in heaven. They can never be admitted into heaven, for all worthy of an entrance there will love order and respect discipline. The characters formed in this life will determine the future destiny. When Christ shall come, he will not change the character of any individual. Parents should neglect no duty on their part to benefit their children. They should so train them that they may be a blessing to society here and may reap the reward of eternal life hereafter. The moment that the child begins to choose his own will and way, that moment his education in discipline is to begin. This may be called an unconscious education. It is then that a work conscious and powerful is to begin. The greatest burden of this work necessarily rests on the mother. She has the first care of the child, and she is to lay the foundation of an education that will help the child to develop a strong, symmetrical character. Frequently, mere babies show a most determined will. If this will is not brought into subjection to a wiser authority than the child's untrained desires, Satan takes control of the mind and fashions the disposition in harmony with his will. neglecting the work of disciplining and training until a perverse disposition has become strengthened is doing the children a most serious wrong, for they grow up selfish, exacting, and unlovable. They cannot enjoy their own company any better than they can others. Therefore, they will ever be filled with discontent. The work of the mother must commence at an early age, giving Satan no chance to control the minds and dispositions of their little ones. Parents, you should commence your first lesson of discipline when your children are babes in your arms. Teach them to yield their will to yours. This can be done by bearing an even hand and manifesting firmness. Parents should have perfect control over their own spirits and, with mildness and yet firmness, bend the will of the child until it shall expect nothing else but to yield to their wishes. Parents, do not commence in season. The first manifestation of temper is not subdued, and the children grow stubborn, which increases with their growth and strengthened with their strength. Are they too young to punish? No. Eli did not manage his household according to God's rules for family government. He followed his own judgment. The fond father overlooked the faults and sins of his sons in their childhood, flattering himself that after a time, they would outgrow their evil tendencies. Many are now making a similar mistake. They think they know a better way of training their children than that which God has given in His Word. They foster wrong tendencies in them, urging as an excuse they are too young to be punished. Wait till they become older and can be reasoned with. Thus, wrong habits are left to strengthen until they become second nature. The children grow up without restraint, with traits of character that are a lifelong curse to them and are liable to be reproached in others. There is no greater curse upon the household than to allow the youth to have their own way. When parents regard every wish of their children and indulge them in what they know is not for their good, the children soon lose all respect for their parents, all regard for the authority of God or man, and are led captive at the will of Satan. Many point to the children of ministers, teachers, and other men of high repute for learning and piety, and urge that if these men, with their superior advantages, fail in family government, those who are less favorably situated need not hope to succeed. The question to be settled is, have these men given to their children that which is their right, a good example, faithful instruction, and proper restraint? It is by a neglect of these essentials that such parents give to society children who are unbalanced in mind, impatient of restraint, and ignorant of the duties of practical life. In this, they are doing the world an injury which outweighs all the good that their labors accomplish. Those children transmit their own perversity of character as an inheritance to their offspring. And at the same time, their evil example and influence corrupt society and make havoc in the church. We cannot think that any man, however great his ability and usefulness, is best serving God or the world while his time is given to other pursuits, to the neglect of his own children. God will bless a just and correct discipline. But without me, says Christ, ye can do nothing. The heavenly intelligences cannot cooperate with fathers and mothers who are neglecting to train their children, who are allowing Satan to handle that little piece of infant machinery, that youthful mind, as an instrument through whom he can work to counteract the working of the Holy Spirit. On page 233, same book, paragraph 1, under the title Discipline in the Home, and that would be chapter 43, it says this: it is the duty of those who claim to be Christians to present to the world well-ordered, well-disciplined families, families that will show the power of true Christianity. It is no easy matter to train and educate children wisely. As parents try to keep judgment and the fear of the Lord before them, difficulties will arise. The children will reveal the perversity bound up in their hearts. They show love of folly, of independence, a hatred of restraint and discipline. They practice deception and utter falsehoods. Too many parents, instead of punishing the children for these faults, make themselves blind in order that they should not see beneath the surface or discern the true meaning of these things. Therefore, the children continue in their deceptive practices, forming characters that God cannot approve. The standard raised in God's word is set aside by parents who dislike, as some have termed it, to use the straitjacket in the education of their children. Many parents have a settled dislike for the holy principles of the word of God because these principles place too much responsibility on them. But the aftersight, which all parents are obliged to have, shows that God's ways are the best, and that the only path of safety and happiness is found in obedience to His will. In the present state of things in society, it is no easy task for parents to restrain their children and instruct them according to the Bible rule of right. When they would train their children in harmony with the precepts of the Word of God and, like Abraham of old, command their household after them, the children think their parents overcareful and unnecessarily exacting. But if you want the blessing of God's parents, do as Abraham did. Repress the evil and encourage the good. Some commanding may be necessary in the place of consulting the inclination and pleasure of the children. To allow a child to follow his natural impulses is to allow him to deteriorate and to become proficient in evil. Wise parents will not say to their children, "Follow your own choice, go where you will, and do what you will," but they will say, "Listen to the instruction of the Lord." Wise rules and regulations must be made and enforced, that the beauty of the home life may not be spoiled. Have you considered why it was that all who were connected with Achan were also subjects of the punishment of God? It was because they had not been trained and educated according to the directions given them in the great standard of the law of God. Achan's parents had educated their son in such a way that he felt free to disobey the word of God. The principles inculcated in his life led him to deal with his children in such a way that they also were corrupted. Mind acts and reacts upon mind, and the punishment, which included the relation of Achan with himself, reveals the fact that all were involved in the transgression. The sin of parenting neglect is almost universal. Blind affection for those who are connected with us by the ties of nature too often exists. This affection is carried to great lengths. It is not balanced by the wisdom or the fear of God. Blind parental affection is the greatest obstacle in the way of the proper training of children. It prevents the discipline and training which are required by the Lord. At times, because of this affection, parents seem to be bereft of their reason. It is like the tender mercies of the wicked, cruelty disguised in the garb of so-called love. It is the dangerous undercurrent which carries children to ruin. Parents are in constant danger of indulging natural affections at the expense of obedience to God's law. Many parents, to please their children, allow what God forbids. If, as teachers in the home, the father and mother allow children to take the lines of control into their own hands and to become wayward, they are held responsible for what their children might otherwise have been. Those who follow their own inclination in blind affection for their children, indulging them in the gratification of their selfish desires, and do not bring to bear the authority of God to rebuke sin and correct evil, make it manifest that they are honoring their wicked children more than they honor God. They are more anxious to shield their reputation than in glorifying God, more desirous to please their children than to please God. Those who have too little courage to reprove wrong, or who through indolence or lack of interest make no earnest effort to purify the family or the church of God, are held accountable for the evil that may result from their neglect of duty. We are just as responsible for evils that we might have checked in others by exercise of parental or pastoral authority as if the acts had been our own. It is very natural for parents to be partial to their own children, especially if these parents feel that they themselves possess superior ability. They will regard their children as superior to other children. Hence, much that would be severely censured in others is passed over in their own children as smart and witty. While this partiality is natural, it is unjust and unchristian. A great wrong is done our children when we permit their faults to go uncorrected. It should be made plain that the government of God knows no compromise with evil. Neither is the home nor in the school should disobedience be tolerated. No parent or teacher who has at heart the well-being of those under his care will compromise with the stubborn self-will that defies authority or resorts to subterfuge or evasion in order to escape obedience. It is not love but sentimentalism that palters with wrongdoing, seeks by coaxing or bribes to secure compliance, and finally accepts some substitute in place of the thing required. In too many families today, there's too much self-indulgence and disobedience passed by without being corrected, or else there is manifested an overbearing, masterful spirit that creates the worst evils in the dispositions of children. Parents correct them at times in such an inconsiderate way that their lives are made miserable, and they lose all respect for father, mother, brothers, and sisters. It is heart-saddening to see the imbecility of parents in the exercise of their God-given authority. Men who in everything else are consistent and intelligent fail to understand the principles that should be brought into the training of their little ones. They fail to give them right instruction at the very time when right instruction, a godly example, and firm decisions are most needed to lead in right lines the inexperienced minds that are ignorant of the deceptive and dangerous influences that they must meet with everywhere. The greatest suffering has come upon the human family because parents have departed from the divine plan to follow their own imaginings and imperfectly developed ideas. Many parents follow impulse. They forget that the present and future good of their children requires intelligent discipline. Rebellion is too frequently established in the hearts of the children through the wrong discipline of the parents, when if a proper course had been taken, the children would have formed good and harmonious characters. While parents have the power to discipline, educate, and train their children, let them exert that power for God. He requires from them pure, faultless, undeviating obedience. He will tolerate nothing else. He will make no excuse for the mismanagement of children. Some children are naturally more obstinate than others and will not yield to discipline, and in consequence they make themselves very unattractive and disobedient, and also disagreeable. If the mother has not wisdom to deal with this phase of character, a most unhappy state of affairs will follow, for such children will have their own way to their destruction. But how terrible for a child to cherish a spirit of obstinacy, not only in childhood, but in more mature years, and because of a lack of agreement in childhood, nourish bitterness and unkindness in manhood and womanhood towards the mother who failed to bring her child up under restraint. Never let your child hear you say, I cannot do anything for you. I cannot do anything with you. As long as we may have access to the throne of God, we as parents should be ashamed to utter any such word. Cry unto Jesus, and he will help you to bring your little ones to him. Dear Heavenly Father, today we thank you for the instruction that you have given. We thank you for the opportunity that you have made aware to us. We thank you also for reminding us of the responsibility that we have to lead our children in the right direction and to set for them the correct example. We ask forgiveness for all that we have not done, and we ask that you would give us the strength to correct our inequities so that we might walk according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, September the 15th, 2020.